Blog Talk Radio.
Well, shalom, shalom, and welcome to another Hebraic Journey Through the Bible broadcast. My name, for most of you that know, is John Wesley, and for the next 30 minutes, I will be your co-host. I am a Messianic pastor, a rabbi, and our quest is to unravel the Hebraic truths hidden deep within the New Testament scriptures of our faith. Now, these Hebraic truths are designed to answer the perplexing question that tend to hinder our spiritual relationship with our Heavenly Father, as well as with Yahushua, who for some of us on this call is our spiritual husband. Now, at this time, I have the distinct honor, once again, to introduce and present to you the other half of this radio broadcast, and that is Tanita, or Evangelist Tanita Jones.
Shalom, and thank you, Rabbi John. Of course, I'm glad to be a co-host of the show. It is always a blessing to share the truth of the Word of God, Yah. This is our 53rd show where we're going to continue to address the question of how can we relate in how we're supposed to worship Yah now and meet Him, and to continue to discuss the item in the ark. And, of course, I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi John. Thank you for the introduction.
You're very, 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 very welcome. Well, Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we just thank you. We magnify your name. We ask forgiveness for sin, for iniquity, for transgression. We thank you for the power that you give us to forgive those who have sinned against us and cause iniquity and transgression against us. Father, we thank you for just being who you are and allowing us to be move in the flow by your Spirit, so that you may not only touch lives on this broadcast, but to also to touch our lives. Father, we are in earnest expectation, waiting to hear what you have to say, how you want to encourage and to fill us and to breathe the precious anointing of life upon us and upon our families. Father, we lay ourselves at the altar, just allowing you to do all aspects and all types of restoration and reconciliation and in our lives as well as in the lives of our loved ones. We thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, to come and teach us, instruct us, guide us, lead us into the fullness of who you've called us to be and the relationship that you so earnestly desire to have with us. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen. And at this time, I'm going to pass it right back to Evangelist Tanita so that she can go ahead and kind of ramp us up and give us a recap of what we've talked about previous pertaining to the Holy of Holies, as well as the item that we just began to allow the Father to minister to us with. And then we will, from there, go into the next item in the Holy of Holies, being Aaron's rod. Okay?
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi John. And so on the last show, you had me to read Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, and it gives us the details of the items that are in the Ark of the Covenant. You had me to read the New King James Version, the ESV, and the Amplified. With that being said, you wanted us to know that when Aaron went into the holy place, the only items he was wearing was his linen clothes, the golden sash, and the white turban. Of course, there are three items that are in the Ark of the Covenant, the first one being the jar of manna, the Aaron's rod, and then the tablets of stone, the Ten Commandments. And you were letting us know that this was dealing with the ugly of Israel. And that there's nothing that we can do or cause or allow to come between us and Yah if we humble ourselves and repent of our sins, iniquities, and transgressions. The first item you had us to look at that was dealing with all three of the items that were dealing with rebellion of Israel. The first item we looked at was the jar of manna. And you let us know that on the sixth day, there were instructions from Yah for them to collect manna for the seventh day. Now, some of them collected more and some collected less. But with Yah, there was no more or less. He balanced it out. So what you wanted us to know was that he was teaching them as well as us how to walk in trust. What Yah says is what will be. The amounts were provided for the Sabbath. So they were on a learning curve of knowing how to believe and trust. When we come into rest, we come to restoration and we receive all of our healing. The jar of manna, again, was an exercise of trust, and that was to build up their belief level. By allowing him to be El Shaddai, they began to manifest a trust with him, with his word. And one of the questions that you asked us was, what has he spoken to you that is your manna? Ask him to bring it back to you, your remembrance, and trust him. And then again, you said that we would start with the next item, which is our Aaron's rod. So I'll hand the show back over to you, Rabbi Jim.
Amen. Amen. And before we go into Aaron's rod, you just brought up another spiritual epiphany, Evangelist Tanita, that I want to make sure that each and every person on this call really gets this. I mean, really put this in your spiritual memory bank and begin to bring it back up countless times. And the reason why I say that is because Evangelist Jenny, as you were talking about at the recap, it brought back to me, myself, it brought back to me a manna that the Father has been speaking to me, that because of my inability to trust him and to believe him, that that is the manna that I am supposed to partake of. You know, I was acting kind of like a little child. You know how little children, you know, you start, and I'm talking about toddlers, real small children, and, you know, you start to try to give them the food, and then after a while, after they tasted it, you know, they start trying to push it back, and they start trying to, you know, spit it back up and do all this other stuff to let you know, I don't like that. I want something else, okay? And oftentimes, we get in that little, you know, that rut where either because you've tasted it before and you thought it was going to be the same old, same old, or you've reached a point in your life where because of things that you have come fell short to, you are pushing it away and saying, you know, I know that's where you called me to, but, you know, that's too grandiose for me. You know, I can't, you know, just attain that, and, you know, that's, you know, for someone else that has better skill sets or what have you. And what I want to share with you, before we go into Aaron's rod, and yes, we're going to be talking about Aaron's rod, but I want to share with you that that is your manna. That's what the Father's called you to be. And he knows best. It's like that TV show, The Father Knows Best. He knows best. And he does not look at where you are right now. He's not looking at where, how far back you were yesterday or the day before. He looks at where you are in the relative retrospect to the word that he's given you. He's given you this word, and that word should carry you to point Z. He's not looking at point A. And he's not focused on anything in between. Now, I'm going to say that again because that's something that really needs to set in your wheelhouse, as they say sometimes. That needs to set in your nowhere, in your holy place. And that is, he views you the way he has created you. He does not view your shortcomings. He doesn't focus on your Ishmaels. Okay? He does not focus on your Ishmaels. He is not oblivious to the fact that they are there, but he does not focus on them. So you do not focus on your Ishmaels. Learn from them. By all means, learn from them. but do not dwell upon them. Do not focus on them. Do not give them more time than what is necessary to learn what not to do and then continue to do what you should be doing and be who you should be, because that's who he's called you to be. And that's who he's expecting. When he calls you into the Holy of Holies, he's expecting the individual that he is called to step into that Holy of Holies, to be transported into that Holy of Holies. He's not expecting anything less and anyone less than who he's called you. So I just want to make sure that we all understand that. And there are times that I have to encourage myself. I have to encourage, I have to look at myself and encourage myself. I have to do like King David did when he made a very bad decision. And the bad decision was so horrendous that he lost the wives and the children and the goods of his mighty men. And he was in the cave and they wanted to kill him. And he wanted to let them. And the Spirit of the Most High came upon him, and he began to encourage himself in the midst of them circling him, angry at him, and wanting to do him in because they've lost all that was very important to them. Now, some of you on this call may have been there. And then at that juncture of your life, you need to submit to the Holy Spirit and allow him to begin to encourage you, to begin to call out that you that the Father sees. Call that person to the forefront. Call him out. Call her out so that you can see what the Father is wanting to do inside of you. And as you do that, the external situations and circumstances in your life, they will change. And they will change because they have to. They'll change because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And as you tap into the greater, as you begin to allow that greater manna to sustain every aspect of the call and the purpose that he has placed within your life, then you will be able to do like David, and you can look at that Goliath and say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine speaking all of these lies about my God? You get your eyes off of you. You get your eyes off of the manna, and you allow it to do what it has been called to do inside of you, to carry you from glory to glory and from faith to faith, from greatness to greatness. So I know that's for somebody. We're going to get back on the Aaron's rod, but I know, other than me, that was for somebody.
Amen.
And so you need to know and understand, you know? Like Popeye had to eat his spinach, you eat your manna, knowing that it has a purpose within it to fulfill everything that's within you. It was designed with the purpose to fulfill every aspect of your need, so that as you do it, you will be complete, whole and whole, and full and full. All right. Enough on that for right now. Now let's go into discussing Aaron's rod. Now, Aaron's rod was one of the other items that we said that we would talk about that was in the holy place, the Holy of Holies, that was in the, and in some translations it has it near the Ark of the Covenant. In other translations, it has it inside the Ark of the Covenant. And either way, that's not what we want to focus on. What we want to focus on was, like we had said before, not the ugly, but the ugly. In other words, why Aaron's rod? Why did Aaron's rod need to be in the Holy of Holies. Now, we had said earlier that all of those artifacts were there because of the Ugali, because of the total rebellion. Okay? Now, when we say total rebellion in the Hebrew, we're saying peshah. We're saying transgression. We're saying to the uttermost desire to destroy that of those things of God and individuals of God, to totally annihilate. Those were the greatest and the most horrendous rebellions that the Father put in near and dear to him, and that he was the one that covered that with his mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one of the things that we need to understand is we're going to be discussing Numbers chapter 17, verses 1 through about 13, okay? Because that's kind of where the whole aspect, that's the whole aspect of where the Aaron's rod began to happen. But one of the things that you need to make sure you understand is Numbers chapter 17 is behind number 16. In other words, number 16 is where the ugly, where the incident happened that caused the problem that escalated to the point to where number 17 had to happen as far as clarification. Because there was clarification that needed to be addressed pertaining to who our Heavenly Father had called to be the leader,
Amen.
The delegated authority. Okay? And when you run into a situation in your life where individuals are challenging the office and the leadership and the call that's on your life, this is an excellent example of how the Father will come in, no different than what he did with Moses against Aaron and against Miriam.
Okay.
This is a situation where the Father is stepping in for Aaron, who was called out of the Levitical priesthood.
Yes.
This is a situation where some of the workers that were called out of the Levitical priesthood were also given, because remember those 70, were also given an anointing. They were given the ability to begin to move in the giftings and to flow in the giftings. And those individuals, out of those individuals, they allowed that anointing, and they're perverted, because it's a spirit of uncleanness, it's a perverted spirit, to begin to puff them up, to begin to cause them to see differently than the way the Father saw them to be. They got caught up in the gifting. They got caught up in being used of God, to the point that they begin to challenge the delegated authority of God upon Moses and upon Aaron. I'm going to say that again, because it's imperative that as we are used of Yah, that we never get that anointing mixed up with the authority of the call that Yah has on individuals. We don't ever want to get those mixed up. This is how, in the New Testament, this is how the bad Ananias and Sapphira began to use strange fire. Back in the Old Testament, this is how Aaron's oldest two sons began to use strange fire, because they began to treat the anointing as something that is very common instead of sacred. It's imperative that we understand that the callings and the positions upon individuals' lives, that calling is sacred. Regardless of how you feel about the individual, the calling, the office is sacred. in our congregation, I am very quick to correct individuals who call upon the President of the United States, both the ones past or the ones present in their office when they were in their office. Regardless if you voted for him or not, that office is an office that the Father allowed him to obtain. And if the Father allowed him to obtain it, then you best respect that office. Or what will end up happening is it will come back upon you and upon your head. Because you're not touching the individual, although that's what you may think you're doing. You're challenging. You're touching the ark. You're touching the anointing of the individual. King David never touched the anointing of King Saul. Now, he made a mistake, and that mistake cost him, and he repented for that costing of that mistake, but he never purposed in his heart to retaliate against the king who was trying to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
It's imperative that we understand the authority in the house and respect that authority. So before we go into Numbers chapter 17, we're going to go ahead and read a little bit of Numbers chapter 16, starting with verse 1. And, of course, the story is going to begin with talking about Korah and Korah's rebellion. Mm-hmm. Now, remember, Korah was a relative. This is to show you how deep it gets. Korah was a relative of Moses and Aaron. He was a family relative, blood relative. He was also one of the ones of the Levites that was called to do service in the tabernacle with the furnishings. So he was very familiar, and some would say he was too familiar with the goings-on, if you will, inside the tabernacle, to the point to where he began to take for granted the authority piece and was only looking at the gifts and the manifestational piece of what was happening in the tabernacle. Now, we teach it not only at our college, but we teach in our congregation that the bells and the pomegranate are on the ephod, the robe of the ephod.
Mm-hmm.
And they are worn by the priest, they're not worn by the Levites. They're worn by the priest of the Levites as he goes in and out of the holy place and back out. Okay? One of those bells, or the bells themselves, represents the gifts of the Spirit. The pomegranate represents the fruit of the Spirit. This is a classic case of an individual with a large bell who chooses not to use the fruit and is making a tremendous amount of clanging. This right here will give you a good understanding of how the Father puts Korah and the rebellion that he starts with approximately 250 plus princes, and these are tribal leaders, how he puts them in their place. So, Evangelist Janine, if you can read Numbers chapter 16, and we'll start off with verse 1, and I'll just kind of come in a little bit as you go through that. Okay?
Okay. All right. Numbers 16, I'm reading the New King James Version, starting at verse 1. Now, Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, with Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. Yes, thank you. And On the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with some of the children of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation, representatives of the congregation, men of renown. They gathered together against Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You take too much upon yourselves, for all the congregation is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? So when Moses heard
it. Stop for just a second. Mm-hmm. Now, what's interesting here, and thank you for reading that, but what's interesting here is in verse 2, and it says, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel. Now, this certain of the children of Israel we know is 250, in my translation, it says princes of the assembly.
Okay.
These are the
yes.
tribal heads. Not only are they the tribal heads, they're famous in the congregation. In other words, the congregation has put fame upon these individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? The congregation has given them praises and accolades. Now, these are the praises and accolades that are supposed to go to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
These praises and accolades that the congregation gave to them never got to the Lord. Why? Because it puffed these individuals up and caused them to believe and to think and to be in a place that only God sits in.
Amen.
Whenever anyone's giving you, and this is a warning to individuals whose giftings are begin to manifest in such a way in the congregation that it's causing individuals to begin to focus on them.
Mm.
When this particular thing begins to happen, you always, always, always point them to the leader of that particular congregation, and more specifically, you point them to God. Now, that's for two reasons. That's one, to protect you from being a Korah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's two, to also help protect them if they so desire to catch the hint, to let them know the order and what they're doing in order to usurp the order. Now, it's one thing to give, you know, honor to where honor is due, but if you continue, then now you're beginning to pervert the order. And you need to understand and stop quickly before you become a Korah, because this spirit will jump on and in the church. This is an example of what happened, and an example of what happened in the body of believers here, the church here, the congregation of Israel, is the body of Christ here. It is the church here. Now, what was happening was Korah and these princes, instead of thinking that they were telling on Moses and Aaron, they unconsciously could not even see that they were telling on themselves.
Okay.
They were exposing themselves. But they were pointing at Moses and Aaron. Go ahead and begin at verse 4.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Rabbi. So when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he spoke to Korah and all his company, saying, tomorrow morning the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him. That one whom he chooses, he will cause to come near to him. Do this, take census, Korah, and all your company. Put fire in them and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord chooses is the Holy One. You take too much upon yourselves, you sons of Levi.
All right,
then
stop
Moses
there.
Said,
no, go ahead, stop there. So now we're going to go into something that is going to be so tremendous you don't want to miss this. But we're going to have to do it tomorrow because we have completely run out of time. So, Evangelist Tanita, if you could share with us how to get more information, this is a good time to do that. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, the show is held weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And you can email your questions to office@bethesham.org. That is that is OFFICE at BETHHASHEM.org. The ministry is Bethlehem Ministries, and we have two websites. It's Bethlehem.org as well as Facebook.com/Bethlehem Ministries. If you would like to attend services, you can also email us at Bethlehem@yahoo.com for directions. We also have Zuhl College for those that are interested in a more in-depth study, in-depth Hebraic understanding of the word. If you would email us at office@bethlehem.org to attend Zuhl College. Thank you for attending the show, and I'll hand it back over to you, Rabbi Don.
You don't want to miss next show, because we're going to go deep into the pitfalls and give you some good symptoms and recognitions within yourself and others when you and if you begin to see yourself falling into this pattern of debauchery, like the 250 princes, to include Korah. So, Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we ask and pray that you continue to warn us. We give you the liberty to stop us in our tracks before we ever get to this debilitating state in which we find the examples of evil, the examples of pride and arrogance manifesting here. We thank you, Father God, that you hear us, and we thank you that you will, by way of your Spirit, guide and protect us and keep us from ourselves as well as from the enemy. Father, I bless each and every person on this broadcast. Until next time, and you just keep them in an awareness and continually eating of their manna so that they can feel full to the full and only want to do your will. In Yahushua's name. Until next time, shalom, shalom.